Welcome to Smashing the Plateau. We help you get unstuck so you can do what you love and get paid what you're worth consistently. I'm your host, David Schreiner Khan.
There's got to be a culture that really makes people feel that the leadership is listening to them.
Today on episode 466 of Smashing the Plateau, I'm here with executive and career coach Tammy Guler-Loeb. I'm going to ask Tammy about trends and best practices in the way people perform meaningful work today, and much more. Find out more about Tammy along with all of our previous episodes at smashingtheplateau.com. Now let's welcome Tammy Guler-Loeb. In her 20 years as an executive career and executive coach, facilitator, and speaker, Tammy has inspired people to engage in work that is fulfilling, meaning, and satisfying. She provides a variety of services to her individual and organizational clients in a wide range of sectors and industries, including executive and career coaching, group facilitation, training, and speaking. This work focuses primarily on workplace communication, leadership strategies, and team development. Tammy hosts a podcast, Work From the Inside Out, which showcases the inspiring stories and practical lessons from people who have transitioned to more satisfying and meaningful work. Tammy holds an MBA from Boston University and is a certified professional co-active coach by the Coaches Training Institute. Tammy, welcome to the show.
Thank you, David. Happy to be here.
It's great to have you on. So Tammy, why are transitions so difficult?
Well, I think that people get comfortable, even in a situation where they're uncomfortable. They get comfortable with their discomfort. And, you know, when people go to make a transition, they're making a change. And people don't always know what's on the other side of the change. So I think there's some fear of the unknown. And some people are more amenable to dealing with whatever shows up, and other people are afraid of what might show up. And they start making up stories in their heads about what it might look like. So, and if they make up a story about what it might look like that's not pleasing to them, then chances are they're going to stay stuck instead of possibly transitioning into something that could be far more fulfilling, meaningful, and satisfying to them. So I'm hoping, and I know it's my job to try to help people to move beyond that.
Right. So let's say somebody realizes he or she is not that fulfilled and doesn't feel like he or she is doing meaningful work, and they actually make a commitment to change. What are some of the biggest mistakes you see them make when they actually do try to make a change?
One of the biggest mistakes I see is that they operate from more of a sort of a knee-jerk place. So they may say, well, I'm going to make a change. They start, let's say, looking for another job. And they find a job that's probably somewhat comparable to what they've already been doing. They're highly qualified for it. And it's sort of the path of least resistance. They apply, let's say they get the job offer. And even though I may be working with them and they see, you know, I sometimes see it more than they do, some of the red flags that might be around that situation, they go ahead and they accept the first job offer that comes along. And maybe 4 to 6 months later, they're knocking on my door again because they're realizing they just moved from one situation that made them unhappy to another one. So I think the biggest mistake is to just jump into the next situation without really giving it a little time to think it through and maybe do some exploration and get more information before you take that next step.
Yeah. Now, if you're in a situation that is really toxic, because I know lots of people like this, they're in either jobs or, frankly, some people who are entrepreneurs, their situation is just really bad. It's they're unhappy. Sometimes it's bad to the point where it's impacting their health, impacting their relationships, and they just want out. And it's really hard to see clearly and to actually take the time to do deep sort of strategic thinking about what would be a good solution to try to make a change that would have a long-term positive impact. What kinds of suggestions do you have for people who are in that kind of really terrible situation?
Well, if it's really affecting their health and it's detrimental on many levels, I do suggest that, or we talk about whether it makes sense to leave. and we talk that through, and we usually come up with a couple of different plans of what, you know, scenarios. You know, I always make sure that my clients know it's their choice how they want to address it. My job is to help them see what their options are, to explore them, and then to make the best choice they possibly can. If they decide to leave, which oftentimes in a toxic situation, that really is a good decision, but yet let's say they're worried about income. We talk about, we also have a conversation about what could they do in the interim, if they agree to it, to bring some cash in, find a way to just make some money, hang up a shingle and be a consultant for a while, whatever they need to do to take care of the basics while they give themselves some time and space to really explore their options and make some good choices. And for some people, they're so traumatized by the toxic situation, they really need time to, you know, as essentially I've seen people who really have symptoms of PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. So in those cases, they really need to take care of themselves first.
Right. So just like companies may hire an interim CEO when they've had like a long-term CEO who's left and they need some space to think about who would really be the right kind of person to follow our longtime CEO, they'll hire an interim for a year, maybe even 2 years. So you're suggesting that as an employee or even as an entrepreneur, you can find an interim step while you have a chance to think about what would be a better long-term solution.
Yes, I think, you know, I'm talking about it in the context of somebody who's going to have, you know, a thinking partner in the process, whether it be someone like myself as a coach or, you know, a friend or a spouse who, you know, they may feel comfortable listening to. Oftentimes I find it's helpful to have somebody who's a little bit outside, a little more objective to their situation. But yeah, I think it helps to come up with some creative ideas so that they can start to literally heal and kind of get their thoughts together again and figure out what is it that they really want.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. But Tammy, I wanted to actually take a step back and look at what's going on in our world in general, in the case of employment and team building, both from the side of the employee or the team member, and also from the side of the hiring organization or the team builder. What do you see in terms of trends about the way people work that are making it very challenging for people to find meaningful work at compensation levels that are adequate?
Well, one of the trends that we're seeing now is what we're calling the gig economy. People who are working on a contractual basis or, you know, by the hour or by the project. And for some people, that really doesn't work well if they're looking for greater consistency and stability in their income, or they're looking for a good benefits package. So that presents a lot of problems. A lot of companies are doing more of that and probably saving money not having to provide that level of support or benefits to their employees, but still getting the job done. So I think that's very challenging for people who really like having a place to go every day and like the idea of a regular paycheck. So it's getting harder for people to meet certain goals when they can't find what we call a steady job.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that they can't find work. They just can't find work in the way that really helps them be at their best.
Right. And on the flip side, for companies, what do you see as some of the challenges for the organizations that are filling out roles with people who may be in contractual or some kind of short-term arrangements versus hiring employees to work long-term?
Well, I think the challenges there are, you know, when you're building a function within an organization based on all contractors, you're losing that element of collaboration and team sometimes, not all the time. And I think that, I don't know who said it, but there's something about, you know, an organization is only as good as the people who they have on board. And if you have a lot of temporary people coming in and out, they're not going to be necessarily as committed to the, let's say, the vision of the company. They're not necessarily going to be as committed to contributing to an organizational culture that builds not just a certain type of environment for its employees, but it also contributes to the success of the outcomes that they're trying to accomplish. And yet, you know, we see a lot of this going on, but I think what we're also seeing is a lot more people being far less committed and disconnected from one another. And I don't think it's just technology that's creating that. I think it's the nature of, I'd say, a more scattered and temporary workforce. I think there's, on both sides, there's reasons to create more permanent employment types of opportunities for those people who really need that and value that. I think that from a company, from the other side, from the company point of view, to have kind of a revolving door of specialists coming in and out, or even I've seen companies that are, they're even hiring, you know, administrative assistants on a contract basis. I think that for some companies, that's a cost-cutting measure, but I think they're losing something more important as a result of that. I think they're losing sort of a heart and a soul that can make an organization really successful.
What suggestions do you have on both sides, on the company side and also on the team member side, to try to deal with what may be more fractiousness in the way people work?
Well, I think on the company side, well, I guess one suggestion is to think more carefully, plan more carefully around what your org chart needs to look like. You know, what are some of the specific functions that your company needs on a regular basis? Strategically, what kind of thinking do you need on a regular basis? And to really build in, you know, a solid foundation of a team or of several teams. I think that that really makes a difference. And then I think also to even with contractors, to make sure that they are really expressing a certain level of acknowledgement, gratitude, and value to those people who are contributing to their success. And not just, and I know I'm generalizing here, but not just having these players who come in and out sort of being like a commodity rather than, you know, somebody who can really add value to the organization's work. So I think that's from the company side is really further developing, further developing their people skills.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the employee side, I see all the time, I see people feeling not valued, you know, as they, what do they say? They say, when you leave a job, you're really leaving your boss. I think there's a real lack of good leadership in a lot of organizations. And you see the difference between one organization and another and how people feel about going to work and how people feel about making that commitment and really giving it their all. And so it's, I think from the employee side, I think that people need to use their voices to ask for what they need, to make contributions, to make themselves seen as valuable, to speak up. And I think there's a lot of people out there who go to work and are afraid to speak up because the workforce is so vulnerable. People are afraid they're going to lose their jobs. And yet I think speaking up, and I don't mean speaking up in terms of always having something negative to say. I mean speaking up in ways to make contributions to the overall sort of culture and climate of the organization.
Mm. So Tammy, given that all these challenges that we just discussed that are taking place in today's workplace and workforce, what might be an example or a story of a situation where you think things are working really well?
I've heard of a few places that I can think of. I'm thinking of one organization. I had a client who was really working on his professional growth and development and wanting to increase the level of position he had in his company. He was working for a company that produces security software. And one of the things that his company did that I really thought was great was he had the opportunity not just to sit down with his own boss to discuss his growth trajectory, but he also had the opportunity, he could at any time invite his boss's boss or even his boss's boss's boss to lunch. Now, it wasn't a huge company, but it wasn't tiny either. But there was this atmosphere that was created. It still had a hierarchy, so it wasn't a flat organization, but there was a real culture of transparency and of supporting people around their growth and giving them a voice and giving them a place to have those conversations around what could they do to expand and elevate their position in the company. How could they grow? What are some of the needs that were out there that they could contribute to? And being able to have kind of, you know, really personable access to people a couple of levels above him, I think made a big difference in terms of his ability to not only work in the job he was in, but also to be able to get a promotion down the road. So I thought that was really good.
Yeah, that's actually a great example. And with that in mind, Tammy, if you had the ear of the CEO of a company that really wanted to make a difference in their marketplace and really wanted to build a workforce that was cutting edge, what would be some of your top suggestions?
I would say to listen. Listen to what people are telling you. You know, elicit their opinions, their input, their insights, their advice from all levels of the organization. I think the more, what do they say? You have two ears and one mouth. Use your ears. I think that piece is important. And also, you know, listening can express itself in many ways. You can sit quietly and hear what people say. But if you're truly listening, you're also then expressing ideas to let people know that you've heard them. When people feel heard, even if you don't agree with each other, but if they feel heard, they are far more likely to want to work collaboratively with you, to take, you know, to go the extra mile. So I think that there's got to be a sort of a culture that really makes people feel that the leadership is listening to them and responding. And even when the leadership may not be able to do things the way that certain employees would like, to at least be able to respond to those ideas in constructive ways. I think that kind of a practice can really take you so much farther than just, you know, sending edicts down the chain. So that to me would be the most important, is to really develop yourself as a good listener. And part of that includes giving, you know, receiving feedback and giving feedback.
If you like what you're hearing on today's episode, you may want to learn more about how you too can do what you love and get paid what you're worth consistently. Go to smashingtheplateau.com and click on Schedule Time with David. I look forward to speaking with you. So Tammy, in your work, who's your ideal client? Who do you work with the most?
My ideal client is a person who is in their sort of mid-career or later career. They are extremely motivated to take some chances. They don't have to be big chances, but they have to be willing to step into some unknown territory. They have to have a real, what I call a yearning for learning, you know, that they're open to learning, they're open to trying things differently, doing some things differently, and really willing to explore and gather information so that they can make the best decisions they possibly can for themselves. And I say that in contrast to some people who I've worked with who come in appearing to be like that, but then I realize shortly thereafter that they're really hoping that I'm going to tell them what to do, or that the process isn't going to require that much time or that much work. And I think the people I enjoy working with most are the people who realize that they're in it for the long haul, you know, the long game versus, you know, the quick let's fix it game.
Got it. And on the business side for you, Tammy, what has worked well for you to build success in your own business, particularly when it comes to consistent, stable revenue?
There's been a couple of things, but one in particular was a piece of advice I got from the director of my MBA program at Boston University. Because when I graduated from that program many moons ago, I told her, I said, you know, I think I'm going to be better off being a consultant or working for myself, but right now I can't afford to do that. And she said, well, another alternative to that is to get a part-time job, get a solid part-time job, and then around those part-time hours, build in some of the consulting and self-employment activities that you'd like to build around that. And so that's actually what I did. Then I found coaching. I went for coaching training. I was still working in a part-time job at the time. Once I built up my coaching practice, I was able to leave my part-time job and go full-time on my own. At the same time that that happened, I've been very fortunate, but I do think that we bring luck on ourselves. It's not just something out there that lands on us. I was very lucky, though. I landed a year-long contract with the Department of Education in New Hampshire, and they were looking for facilitators to facilitate school improvement teams across the state. And I wanted to do facilitation work. I wasn't that skilled in it at the time, but they were willing to train us and everything. So I got tremendous training, and it turned into a very good kind of solid part-time assignment that went throughout the year. In fact, that work lasted over 12 years in various places with various schools. And the year that that work dried up, I landed a contract with the United Way of Massachusetts Bay doing another substantive piece of work. So over the years, I've always had at least one sort of year-long contract or several contracts that really I knew there was a certain amount of revenue there and a certain amount of work to be done. And then around that, I've built my coaching practice and training, development, and speaking work all around that. And that I've just built up through word of mouth.
So a lot of careful step-by-step growth.
Yes. And yet, you know, there's always this, there is some fluctuations, you know, from month to month. And it doesn't hurt that I also have a husband who likes to go to a regular job every day. So there's, you know, other income. But I will tell you that without that, I would still be doing what I'm doing. That I think if you really apply yourself to it, I know that sounds trite, there's a lot of people out there who really need help and need to feel that their work matters a whole lot more. So I figure I've got lots of people to work with. I think maintaining a certain sort of attitude and a level of, I don't know, detachment. And I don't mean that I'm not attached to what I'm doing, but a detachment to the outcome of everything I do so that when I'm working with somebody or maybe talking to somebody who's considering hiring me, I don't get myself so attached to that one thing that it doesn't free me up to keep thinking about all the other possibilities. And I think staying open to all the possibilities has allowed me to have things show up that I can step into fairly easily. So it's taken a few years to get there, but it's, I think when you want it badly enough, you can make it happen.
Yeah, for sure. So Tammy, speaking of people who are out there, whom do you know personally who has done a remarkable job of smashing the plateau?
Well, one of my current teachers is a woman named Dori Clark, who I know you know.
Mm-hmm. Yes, been a guest on Smashing the Plateau.
Yes. Well, Dori, I think, is a great example and role model in so many ways. She has certainly, she's had many careers over the years and has had, even though she's wildly successful and sets an amazing example as an entrepreneur, she's also had a lot of setbacks. And she's had periods of time in her life where she's had to stop and really think about what she was going to do next. And she's always landed on her feet, but it hasn't been without some difficulty. She's also very transparent with her stories about the experiences that she's had. So I find that very instructive, but I also, she's very generous with sharing her strategies of how she's moved through all the various plateaus that she's experienced. And anybody who's curious or interested, I highly recommend reading any one of her three books. I think that she offers a lot of very tangible and accessible wisdom about how to move forward, how to keep exploring the possibilities.
Yeah, she's a great example. And Tammy, what's coming up in the near future for you?
Well, as you mentioned earlier, I launched a podcast a couple of months ago, so I'm putting a lot of effort into that right now, doing some writing. And I'm in the process of developing an online course that will be, it'll be a course and possibly a mastermind group that will be targeted towards people who are, again, mid-career, later career, and are saying to themselves, you know, I kind of like what I do, but I don't like it as much as I used to. And I'm not quite ready to make a change, but I would like to start thinking about what's next. And so I've been getting a lot of feedback from former clients and other people in that way. And I'm thinking there's a real need to address people's need to kind of start thinking ahead without jumping into something too radical.
Sounds great. And do you have a free gift you'd like to offer our audience?
I do. It's my 9 steps to successful transitions. And I think it provides a lot of ideas for people about how they can go about thinking about transitions and some very tangible suggestions for actually beginning to make a transition.
And where can people access the free gift?
They can access it on my website, www.tammygulerloeb.com, or they can access it through my podcast, workfromtheinsideout.com.
Okay. And we will also include a link in the show notes for this episode.
Great.
And if somebody wants to go deeper with anything you shared today or try to get in touch with you, where's the best place to go?
They can go through my website, TammyGulerLoeb.com. There's a button they can click on and they can fill in some information and send me a note and let me know what the best way is to reach them. And I try to respond very quickly to people.
Sounds great. Well, Tammy, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today on Smashing the Plateau.
Thank you, David.
My guest today has been executive and career coach Tammy Guler-Loeb. Thank you again, Tammy, for joining us.
Thank you.
When you visit the Smashing the Plateau website at smashingtheplateau.com, you'll find a summary of each episode along with the links we mention on the show. Today, we discussed trends and best practices in the way people perform meaningful work today and how Tammy has developed her own business. Would you like more consistent, stable revenue in your business? Go to smashingtheplateau.com and click on Schedule Time with David to connect directly with me. Please share this episode with friends and colleagues to help them smash the plateau. Thank you for taking the time to listen to our show. I'll see you on our next episode.